This morning's scripture reading will be from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Again, that is John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
I'm going to preach down here this morning. Good to see everybody here on this beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. Got kind of a smaller group here, although from my seat up there, it looked like a smaller group because these pews are all empty down here. But we actually have a good number here. I imagine a lot of our folks are out of town because of spring break this week. And so let's keep them in our prayers. Let's think about them as they're traveling. And some of you may be traveling the next few days as it is. But I'll tell you what, if you guys keep sitting in the back, I'm going to start preaching from right here from now on. This is how it's going to be. We've got a short lesson this morning because at 9:30 we're going to break into our groups, so just be aware of that. Remember where your group meets. Talk about the business of the congregation, things that we can all be doing to support each other, love each other, and look out for each other. So we've only got about 15 minutes here, so I want to keep today's lesson very simple. We've just got one slide, and we've got one passage that we're going to take a look at, but it's got a really incredible truth in it that I hope that we can consider very carefully this morning. Have your Bibles open to John chapter 21. Go to the Gospel of John, and we're going to take a look at John chapter 21. If you're visiting here with us, maybe you're not super familiar with the scriptures. Maybe this is your first time at church, or maybe you've been to church a few times, maybe in the past, or you've opened up a Bible a time or two. If you're not super familiar with the Gospel of John, it is one of the four Gospels. It's the story of Jesus. It's essentially, we might call it a biography, but what the Apostle John wrote in his book was written that we might believe in Jesus Christ. So we come to the end of the Gospel of John. Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried in a tomb. And miraculously, he's been raised up from the dead after 3 days. Not only has he been raised up, and it's not like he just disappeared and no one ever saw him again. He actually made appearances to a number of witnesses after his resurrection to make sure that people knew that it was real, that it was tangible, that it was a physical resurrection, and that there was still work to be done. Now, he meets with his disciples here in John chapter 21. The chapter begins after these things. Jesus revealed himself or manifested himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. And the following verses, he comes to his disciples, and they're working in the sea. They're fishermen for a living. That was what they did by trade before Jesus made them into fishers of men. Now they're having breakfast together after this incredible display of Jesus' power. And so here we come to verse 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. So Jesus came and took the bread, and he gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus, and here's where our reading begins. Jesus said to Simon Peter, verse 15, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So Jesus said to him, "Tend my lambs." So Jesus said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And so he said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Now in verse 17, Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now Peter was grieved because of this, because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now he said this, signifying by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to them, follow me. Okay. A lot of people read this story and wonder, what's the meaning of this threefold repetition of the question that Jesus asked Peter? It's kind of an interesting story. It's an odd story. Rebecca and I, in our marriage, we're not lovey-dovey people. We don't celebrate with flowers and that sort of thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, we kind of have this understanding that when we say, I love you, we mean it, and we don't have to say, I love you over and over and over and over and over again. We say, I love you, and that's kind of like once a day is probably enough for us to say, I love you. And that's just us. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong if you're different than that. I'm absolutely not judging. That's just how our relationship is. And yet here's Jesus saying, Simon, do you love me? Well, yeah, of course I love you, Lord. You know that I love you. Yeah, but Simon, do you love me? Yes, I love you. You know that. Yeah, but Simon, do you love me? And it's interesting, isn't it, that Simon, it says he becomes grieved at this. He becomes grieved at the fact that Jesus asks him the same question three times. Or is it the same question? That's right. Put a bookmarker there in your thoughts, because I want to come back to that here in just a few minutes. There's really two main things that I want to take from this lesson, then we'll go ahead and break for our group meetings. The first one is to simply ask, why is it that Jesus asked him three times? What is the deal with this repetition? Well, what other thing did Peter do three times? And it was not more than a few nights earlier. What happened to Peter just not more than a few nights earlier, three times? There was a threefold repetition of something else in Peter's life that needed to be resolved. It needed to be answered. It needed to be confronted. Well, if you recall on the night that Jesus was betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas, Peter is gung-ho as ever, right? Because that's just how Peter is. Sticks his foot in his mouth. And he's always got the words of bravado. He doesn't always have the bravado to back it up, but he's always got the words for bravado. Well, Jesus, you know, I would go to death for you. I would die for you. Would you, Peter? Would you? Really? Because by the end of this night, you're going to deny me three times. I'd never deny you. No, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And as it turns out, just as that rooster is crowing, what has Peter done? He's denied Jesus three times. Three times. Now, does everybody know that? Yeah, I'm not saying you know that. I'm saying his disciples, Jesus' disciples. Is it pretty public knowledge that Peter denied Jesus three times? Yeah, there's witnesses. People were around him. There were other people to hear it. They knew that Peter had denied Jesus three times. And if Peter is going to become the leader that Jesus needs him to be, if Peter is ever going to become the Peter from the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, if Peter is ever going to become the Peter who's kind of the spokesperson for the apostles, if Peter is ever going to become the Peter that he needs to be, what does Peter need to do? He's got to confront the mistakes that he made. We don't like that, do we? We like to kind of glaze over the mistakes that we've made. We kind of hope that our boss won't notice. We kind of hope that if enough time passes by, our spouse will let us kind of, you know, we'll let that one slip. We kind of hope that if we use euphemistic language for our sins and kind of sanitize our sins a little bit. We won't ever have to face it or confront it. We want to wiggle our way out of responsibility. But here's Jesus essentially confronting Peter and saying, you denied me three times, and they all know it. The other disciples, James, John, Andrew, they all know it. And if you're ever going to become the leader that I know that you can be and that I need you to be, then I need to know that this denial is in the past. You have to face it. You have to confront it. You have to answer for it. Peter denied Jesus three times. And so it is reasonable for every one of those denials for Jesus to say, do you love me? Peter, Simon, son of John, you denied me not more than a few days ago. Now, do you love me? And if you love me, you've got work to do. Because after each one of these do you love me questions, what does Jesus say? Go out and be a shepherd. You've got work to do. Tend my sheep. Be with the lambs and lead them. You have work to do. Now, what I love about this, and by way of practical application, is yes, this threefold questioning of Peter is a callback to his threefold failure. But Jesus is not asking Peter to stay in the past. Jesus is not asking Peter to live in his mistakes forever. He's saying, confront your mistakes, give an answer for it, take responsibility for it, and now get out and do the work that you're supposed to do. Because your future is what Jesus cares about. He wants to deal with the past, of course. Take responsibility for the past. Take responsibility for your actions. Of course we want to resolve the past. But Jesus doesn't care about the past. He cares about the future and what you're supposed to be doing in the future. And that's such a beautiful thing. That again, while this is a callback to Peter's failure, it's a challenge for Peter to move on from his failure and do better in the future than he has in the past. And that is a really beautiful, special thing that I think all of us are similarly called to follow. But then let's go back to a comment I made a few minutes ago. So Jesus asked the same question three times. But is he really asking the same question three times? Because there's a little subtle word choice that's in this passage that's easy to miss just reading in the English language. That's one of those times, right, when we talk about English as kind of a limited language. It's so funny, isn't it, that English has borrowed all these words from like a dozen different languages, and we've got this like cobbled together, a really, really cobbled together language here. And yet, with our incredible vocabulary that we take from French and German and Latin and Greek and all these others, somehow or another, we're still here 1,000 years later and we only have one word for love. Isn't that a funny thing? We got one word for love after all this time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, in the English language, love is love is love, right? We just say the word love. We got one word for all of it. But as you, I'm sure, are aware, because every preacher for all time has made the same comment about how there are different words in the Greek for love, you are aware there are different words in Greek for love. Now, one word for Greek, for love in Greek is agape. Agape is the idea of this unselfish, self-sacrificial love. It's the kind of love that puts others ahead of yourself. It's very much this golden rule type of love. There's another word for love, phileo. Phileo is the brotherly love, the friendship. It's a brotherly affection that we might share for each other. There are other words in the Greek for love, but those are the two that have purpose for our lesson today. The first time that Jesus asks Simon, do you love me? He uses the word agape. Simon, do you have an unselfish, sacrificial love for me? Do you have the kind of love that will stop denying me and put me first? Because remember, this is an answer. This is a callback to Peter's denial. Peter, have you put that kind of denial behind you? Are you ready to love me in an unselfish, agape kind of love? But what's Peter's response? Well, Lord, you know that I phileo you. He does not respond with agape. The love that Peter uses in that passage is, well, Lord, I have a phileo kind of love for you. Lord, you know that I have a brotherly affection for you. That's not what I was asking, Peter. Peter, do you agape me? So he asked him a second time, Peter, do you agape me a second time? Because I'm not asking about phileo. I'm not asking if you like me. I'm not asking if you have brotherly love. I'm asking, are you ready to serve me? And the second time, Peter also responds, well, Lord, you know that I phileo you. And the third time that Jesus asks, the question changes. The third time, Jesus does not ask, do you agape me anymore? The third time, Jesus then says, well, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? The question changed. Do you agape me the first time? Do you agape me the second time? But the third time in Greek, Simon, do you phileo me? And that's when Peter gets upset. The text says that he became grieved at this third question. Why was he so grieved by it? He was grieved because Jesus changed his vocabulary. This whole time Jesus is saying, are you ready to serve me? And Peter, with a little trepidation, says, well, Jesus, you know, I've always had an affection for you. I've always had brotherly love for you. You know that, Jesus. Yeah, but Peter, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, are you ready to agape love me? Are you ready to serve me, to put me first? Are you ready to put the denial behind you? What do you expect me to say, Jesus? You know that I love you. I have a deep affection for you. We're like brothers. Well, here's the thing, Simon. If you're not willing to agape me, if you're not willing to serve me, if you're not willing to put me first in all things, then I question whether you really do have phileo love for me. I question whether you really do have that affectionate brotherly love. That's what makes Peter so upset. You know, we're willing to give God so much. Well, I love God. Of course I love God. We all love God. If I polled every person in this room, 100% of you would say, I love God. Of course you love God. Then why can't you give everything to Him? If you love God, why can't you serve Him the way that you should? If I love God so much, why am I holding back from God? Why am I holding back in my worship, in my prayer? Why am I not speaking the gospel to people the way that I should? Why am I not evangelizing the lost the way that I should? If I really do love God, then where is the agape love that I claim to have? I'm willing to go so far, just like Simon was, just like Peter was. Well, Jesus, you know that I have an affection for you. We're really close. We're like brothers. Simon, if we're really like brothers, if you really have as much affection for me, if you really have as much phileo love as you say you do, then I need you to show the agape love that I'm asking from you. I know that you have phileo love. I get that, but I need you to show the agape love. And if you can't do the agape love, if you can't self-sacrificially love me, then I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this phileo love that you claim to have. What if you really like your spouse? Like, what if you enjoy being around your spouse? You guys have fun together. Every time you go out, it's just so much fun. You like all the same things. You exercise together. Like, what if in your relationship you have just all the other kinds of love? And I don't, you know, we fill in the blank, right? Every other kind of love is there. The phileo love is there. The eros love is there. But then, you know, you're in a dangerous part of town and someone comes up to you and wants to mug you or something like that. And you go, ah! And you run away from your spouse. Great, I'm so glad that you had phileo love for me, and I'm so glad that you had eros love for me, but when I really needed it, where was the self-sacrificial love? Where was the agape? What's the point of the phileo? What's the point of the eros? What's the point of the other kinds of love? If you don't have agape love, if you will not sacrifice yourself and give yourself for the people that you claim to love. Now remember, Jesus is not saying any of this to discourage Peter. He's just challenging Peter. He's saying, I know that you've got the phileo love. That's not what I'm asking of you, though. I'm asking for the agape love. And if you can't give me the agape love, then I don't know what the point of the phileo love is. Peter, you've got work to do. You've got to tend my sheep. You've got to get out there and lead. These lambs need you. These others, these disciples, look at them. I'm not staying here forever. Turn to the next page and Jesus is gone. Peter, I need you to put the denial behind you and be the leader that I know you can be. Because the very next page, I'm going to ascend to be with the Father, and I'm not going to be here anymore to hold anybody's hand and do it for you. Agape love. Agape love. That's what it really boils down to. Let's go and have a prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our Bible class or to our group meetings. Thank you so much, God, for this beautiful, beautiful sunny day. We love you so very much, and for all the incredible blessings that surround us. We have many material blessings. It is a beautiful creation. It is a creation with so many tools and resources at our disposal. And we thank you so much for those material blessings. Most of all, we thank you for the spiritual blessings, these great, great riches and treasures that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to love you and to love your Son in a self-sacrificial way, to give our lives to you as your Son gave his life for us. Help us to put self-denial ahead of all things so that we might put you as first in our lives. We love you, God. That's easy for us to say. Help us to show it by our actions and our behavior. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.